The gathering hall occupied one entire side of Harkin Square, which was the city's central plaza. The square was paved with stone. It had a few benches bolted to the ground here and there, as well as a couple of kiosks for notices. Wide steps led up to the gathering hall, and fat columns framed its big door. The mayor's office was in the gathering hall. So were the offices of the clerks, who kept track of which buildings had broken windows, what street lamps needed repair, and the number of people in the city. There was the office of the timekeeper, who was in charge of the town clock, and there were offices for the guards who enforced the laws of Ember, now and then putting pickpockets or people who got in fights into the prison room, a small one-story structure with a sloping roof that jutted out from one side of the building. Lina ran up the steps and through the door into a broad hallway. On the left was a desk, and at the desk sat a guard. "Barton Snowd, assistant guard," said a badge on his chest. He was a big man, with wide shoulders, brawny arms, and a thick neck. But his head looked as if it didn't belong to his body. It was small and round, and topped with a fuzz of extremely short hair. His lower jaw jutted out and moved a little from side to side, as if he were chewing on something. When he saw Lina, his jaw stopped moving for a moment, and his lips curled upward in a very small smile.
"Good day," he said. "What business brings you here today?"
"I have a message for the mayor."
"Very good, very good."
Barton Snowd heaved himself to his feet.
"Step this way."
He led Lina down the corridor and opened a door marked Reception Room.
"Wait here, please," he said. "The mayor is in his basement office on private business. But he will be up shortly."
Lina went inside.
"I'll notify the mayor,"
said Barton Snowd.
"Please, have a seat. The mayor will be right with you. Or pretty soon."
He left, closing the door behind him. A second later, the door opened again, and the guard's small, fuzzy head reappeared.
"What is the message?"
he asked. "I have to give it to the mayor in person," said Lina.
Of course,
said the guard. The door closed again. He doesn't seem very sure about things, Lina thought. Maybe he's new at his job. The reception room was shabby, but Lina could tell that it had once been impressive. The walls were dark red, with brownish patches where the paint was peeling away. In the right-hand wall was a closed door. An ugly brown carpet lay on the floor, and on it stood a large armchair covered in itchy-looking red material and several smaller chairs. A small table held a teapot and some cups, and a larger table in the middle of the room displayed a copy of the Book of the City of Ember, lying open as if someone were going to read from it. Portraits of all the mayors of the city since the beginning of time hung on the walls, staring solemnly from behind pieces of old window glass. Lina sat in the big armchair and waited. No one came. She got up and wandered around the room. She bent over the Book of the City of Ember and read a few sentences. "The citizens of Ember may not have luxuries, but the foresight of the builders, who filled the storerooms at the beginning of time, has ensured that they will always have enough, and enough is all that a person of wisdom needs." She flipped a few pages. "The gathering hall clock," she read, "measures the hours of night and day. It must never be allowed to run down. Without it, how would we know when to go to work and when to go to school? How would the light director know when to turn the lights on and when to turn them off again? It is the job of the timekeeper to wind the clock every week and to place the date sign in Harkin Square every day. The timekeeper must perform these duties faithfully." Lina knew that not all timekeepers were as faithful as they should be. She'd heard of one some years ago who often forgot to change the date sign so that it might say Wednesday, week 38, year 227, for several days in a row. There had even been timekeepers who forgot to wind the clock, so that it might stand at noon or at midnight for hours at a time, causing a very long day or a very long night. The result was that no one really knew anymore exactly what day of the week it was, or exactly how many years it had been since the building of the city. They called this the year 241, but it might have been 245, or 239, or 250. As long as the clock's deep boom rang out every hour, and the lights went on and off more or less regularly, it didn't seem to matter. Lina left the book and examined the pictures of the mayors. The seventh mayor, Pod Morthwart, was her great-great-she-didn't-know-how-many-greats-grandfather. He looked quite dreary, Lina thought. His cheeks were long and hollow, his mouth turned down at the corners, and there was a lost look in his eyes. The picture she liked best was of the fourth mayor, Jane Larkett, who had a serene smile and fuzzy black hair. Still no one came. She heard no sounds from the hallway. Maybe they'd forgotten her. Lina went over to the closed door in the right-hand wall. She pulled it open and saw stairs going up. Maybe, while she waited, she'd just see where they went. She started upward. At the top of the first flight was a closed door. Carefully, she opened it. She saw another hallway and more closed doors. She shut the door and kept going. Her footsteps sounded loud on the wood, and she was afraid someone would hear her and come and scold her. No doubt she was not supposed to be here. But no one came, and she climbed on, passing another closed door. The gathering hall was the only building in Ember with three stories. She had always wanted to stand on its roof and look out at the city. Maybe from there it would be possible to see beyond the city, into the unknown regions. If the bright city of her drawings really did exist, it would be out there somewhere.